It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I want to get to the audio that came out yesterday. Washington Nationals pitcher Jake Irvin appearing on the Foul Territory podcast, Woods. And part of that is you're going to get asked questions about something significant that happened
in the last week, recently.
Yeah. I doubt he said, hey, guys, I really want to come on your podcast to talk about this incident that happened with the San Diego Padres and Jurickson Profar last week. So I'll at least understand the circumstances. You're going to sit down. You agreed to do it. Okay, they're going to ask you some questions about it, and you're going to have to come up with some answers about what on God's green earth happened last week with Jurickson Profar and the Washington Nationals. So in that context, I'm not up in arms mad about it. I don't know. Were you mad about the audio? We're going to play it for you here
No, I was shocked. I really was shocked. I think there's a way to say, dude, that was last week. We got swept by those guys. I mean, it is what it is. And, we got swept at the end of the day. Like, that's the most important thing. We lost three games that we really needed to win. There's your answer. Like, A.J. Pierzynski's not going to go. Yeah, but tell me again more about Jurickson Profar and what he did.
Tell me exactly what was said in that clubhouse.
To disrespect your team, et cetera, et cetera. And so I wasn't mad. I just kind of rolled my eyes and went, bro, again, you're talking like Jurickson Profar did something to you personally. And even if he did beat his chest and look into your dugout, you've been playing baseball your entire life. That's never not been a thing. It's never not been a thing. And it's even more of a thing now. So I don't know what turned the Nationals into the arbiter of all things unwritten rules and, you know, Lord Baseballs again. But, you know, it probably comes from the top at Davey Martinez. But again, we get walked off on. I'm loading my bag and I'm walking to my car. Like, I'm not standing there going, do something. I dare you to do something. You're going to find something if you're looking for something every time.
I think let's play the audio from Jake Irvin. I think what's missing is just a coherent explanation.
Correct.
That the Nationals can't even seem to come up with exactly why they were so bothered by Jurickson Profar. But this is a Jake Irvin, Nationals pitcher, on Foul Territory.
What's the limit? And this isn't just meant for Profar, but you as a player. Like, for me, I was like, you hit a walk-off, you can do whatever the hell you want, because I'm not watching anyways. I'm going back to the dugout, and I'm going back and getting out of my sweaty gear and clothing. So what is there a limit that you think that players should have, or is it a case-to-case basis? Because I just thought, I was like, yeah, you hit a walk-off, do whatever you want.
Yeah. I think it's, like you said, it's case-to-case basis.
It's not.
Do whatever you want. You won the game. You did something really cool that people dream of doing, and it's a special moment. I think for me personally, you keep it within your team, make it about your boys, and make it about your family. When you bring it to the other side of the field, you know, there's just a little bit different feeling for a celebration like that.
I was going to echo that same statement.
Pause for a sec.
AJ, I'm with you.
I don't know who that is. Who is that? The next guy that's talking? Anybody have any ideas? That guy right there. Is that – was that former – Who is that? God, he looks familiar.
They have such a rotating cast.
Yeah, somebody in the chat will tell me. Somebody will. That's Kipnis, Jason Kipnis.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You can do whatever you want if it's with your team. If you guys have a fun celebration, whether it's the old Adam Jones pie in the face or the Gatorade celebrations, when you start kind of crossing that line and looking into the other dugout, I think that's a little bit of where it gets a little kind of like a gray area, to be honest. So I think if it stays on your side of the field and with your guys, there is really no limit that you can do. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Absolutely. And we didn't want to hit him. We didn't want to hurt him. Guys were over it, 10 minutes after the game. But we talked as a group and just said, that's something that we don't want to put up with as a team. And it's part of this scrappy attitude.
So they weren't over it.
So they clearly weren't over it 10 minutes after the game. Clearly.
We have each other's backs. We're here for each other. And part of that is doing what Cabert did and just standing up for his guy.
I like it because I don't want to get too far away from where the game polices itself. I think that was still one of the best parts about baseball that I grew up to love about the game and the way it handles itself and players handle the other players and intricacies of the game. So I don't think we should get too far where it's like, oh, no, you can't do any of it now, where it's like there's still got to be some of it.
Yeah. I mean, we're all adults, man. We know what's right. Yeah. We know what's wrong. And when guys take it too far, I think that – even in your own dugout, So when something like that arises, I think that as adults, we can handle that the right way. And if you got to police something, you got to police something.
All right, so that's Jake Irvin, Washington Nationals pitcher, on foul territory.
If you got to police something, you got to police something. Right, that sure sounds like if you got to drill a guy, then you drill him.
Here are my thoughts. If there was any policing going on, the Washington Nationals are the worst cops ever because they didn't teach Jurickson and Profar any lessons at all.
No.
In the end. And in fact, if there was any policing that went on, Manny Machado did the only policing. He taught Cabert Ruiz, you're not touching my guy. I bet Cabert Ruiz never pokes a finger into the chest of another batter again. So if any policing was going on, the Padres did all the policing in that situation, not the Washington Nationals. And ultimately, I don't think, as he said, I don't think the Washington Nationals were actually that bothered by Jurickson Profar. I think the Washington Nationals have an internal issue, and they're trying to come together around something, and they thought this could be our excuse to come together as a team. Let's make a big deal about this, and maybe we can all at least seem like we're pulling on the same rope and do something about it, because they seem to be, they're a young team, they got a lot of young guys, and this is just a way, maybe it's Davey Martinez, maybe it's a couple of the veterans who are going, let's just grab onto this and say this is what's going to galvanize us going forward. Whether it's true or not, whether it makes any sense or not, sometimes you just look for something and go, this is something we can rally around. So let's rally around it.
Guilty of it
myself.
Even
if it makes no sense at all.
Sure, man. Guilty of it myself. Michael Jordan did the bit creating stuff that people said to him that they never actually said. They didn't say it. Hey, good game, Mike. What? I actually never said that to Michael Jordan, but he went out and hung 50 on us the next time we played him. I think, where it starts and stops for me is we didn't go at your chin. We didn't go into the stands after a fan. We didn't throw at any of your players. At the end of the day, in a court of law, if I'm submitting the evidence, the Nationals were clearly in the wrong. We didn't poke anybody in the chest and tell them what they're doing is wrong. You were pissed that you took a lead, and then you blew it, and you were pissed. And you stood there on the field, and you were looking for some S. You were looking for it. You should have been, as soon as that ball hit the ground, you should have been packing your stuff. You shouldn't have been standing on the warning track looking for to start any grief. And you certainly should not have sat and poked a 10-year vet in the chest if you're Cabert Ruiz and you're negative war. You do not get to do that to Jurickson Profar. You haven't earned it at all. You haven't earned it. And for him to sit and poke him and prod him, I couldn't have been happier with what Manny did. I couldn't have been happier. He did not just jump in the middle of them. He grabbed that dude. He pushed him away hard. And then he put his arm around him and said, hey, we don't do that. You know better than that. And Cabert,
because Manny is an actual police officer on the field, and the Washington Nationals are the Keystone Cops.
Yeah, bro.
In this situation.
I can't believe that they're still talking about this and talking about how, it brought the team together. You end up losing every game in that series. Worry about Your closer blowing a huge lead. Worry about getting hits with runners in scoring position. Worry about taking care of business in a couple of games you needed to win there, and you had a chance to.
Maybe they should re-sign Jonathan Papelbon so he can attack Bryce Harper.
That guy is a lunatic, man. Holy cow. It's just been... It's been ridiculous. It's been way overblown. And I can, you know what, man? Like, I've seen Bryce Harper celebrate that way, beating his chest, looking at the dugout. I've seen guys hit home runs, looking into the dugout as they're running to first base. Okay, like, you didn't police anything that day. You really didn't. And I think you made yourselves look a little bit foolish. And you know, you know our stance on it. I thought it was ridiculous. Jurickson Profar is an emotional player that just took 97 to the chin.
And I want to turn that around. We do need a contestant for Take on Woods here. We're about a minute away from our game. If you want to call in, try to challenge Woods in our musical trivia contest, 833-288-0973. Call right now, 833-288-0973. Keep in mind, remember, they walked Luis Arraez to get to Jurickson Profar. They could, guess what? They could have struck out Jurickson Profar, and they would have celebrated. I bet their pitcher would have, you know, fist-pumped.
He would have been demonstrative.
Been very demonstrative, and they would have earned it, and they would have, and it would have felt really bad for Jurickson Profar to have come through in that situation. So it's only fair that when you do come through in that situation, and this is baseball, so it's a lot harder to come through with a winning hit than it is to strike out or pop out to end the game. The pitcher, the defense has the advantage there.
What an AB, too.
So when you up with an AB like that, after they have just intentionally walked another player to get to you in that situation, it would be weird if Jurickson didn't have some sort of normal human reaction that probably involved looking at the other team that made those decisions to set up that scenario to begin with.
It's happened for 100 years, and it's going to happen for 100 more. And I think you make a really valid point. They're looking for any shred to hang on to bring their team together. It didn't work. It didn't work. You lost. You lost three games in a row, games you needed to win. So, that, I mean, look, what it does do is it brings up the volume a little bit on the series the next time we play the Nats, which is right around the corner. So I'm way more excited about that series today than I was 2 weeks ago. Should be interesting.
All right, let's pause this conversation, get to our game. It is time to Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods.
We got John Conniff in studio. He says, I never do well in this game. Let's go with Russell, line two. Russell, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you're in. You're our contestant today. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. You know how it works. Five questions of musical trivia. You go first. Woods is in isolation. He will come back. Same five questions. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the grand prize drawing. You can be the first this month for our grand prize trip to the Rio Las Vegas, two-night stay, dinner for two, and a day bed at the Rio Pool, the Rhythm of Vegas. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. All right, Russell, you get the advantage of picking our category. Here are your choices. Keep the Change. Those are song titles and artists that include a type of coin in the name. Give Them a Hand. Those are song titles including the word hand. And our new category, Rush. All about the band Rush. Russell, Keep the Change, Give Them a Hand, or Rush. What would you like to play?
Keep the Change.
Keep the Change. All right, this is a fun one. Today's game features a mix of song titles and artists that all include a type of coin, American currency, in the name. 60 seconds to get as many as you can. Pass if you don't know one. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is our two-second song. Paulie's going to play you a little music. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist to score the point. Russell, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, remember the category. Keep the Change, 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Russell. Let's take on Woods.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win.
Yeah.
Which Beatles song from the Sgt. Pepper album is about a street in Liverpool that Paul McCartney is recalling from his childhood?
Penny Lane.
Correct. Which rock band from Portland, Oregon is best known for their saxophone-driven early 80s hit, Harden My Heart?
I know this one. Quarter Flash.
Correct. Which California punk band took its name from the villain in the Stephen King horror classic It?
Pass.
Which 1973 Led Zeppelin classic takes its title from a military phrase meaning to offer no mercy to a vanquished opponent?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Pass. Back to our two-second song. You know this one?
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth and I'm never gonna win.
Time's running out. We're out of time. You did get two, and it's a tough category. That was Rockstar by Nickelback. You got Penny Lane and Quarter Flash. You didn't get Pennywise. That was the clown from the Stephen King movie and the punk band. And No Quarter is the Led Zeppelin song. So two, we'll see how Woods does. He doesn't even get the category. Try to figure this one out as he goes. All right, Russell's score is locked in. John, how would you have done in that category?
Very badly.
Very poorly. All right, Woods, let's see how you do. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins. Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Russell.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the
Rockstar, Nickelback.
Correct. Which Beatles song from the Sgt. Pepper album is about a street in Liverpool that Paul McCartney is recalling from his childhood?
Pass.
Which rock band from Portland, Oregon is best known for their saxophone-driven early 80s hit Harden My Heart?
Quarter Flash.
Correct. Which California punk band took its name from the villain in the Stephen King horror classic It?
Pennywise.
Correct. Which 1973 Led Zeppelin classic takes its title from a military phrase meaning to offer no mercy to a vanquished...
No Quarter.
Correct. Let's go back to our two... Oh, no, you got that one. Let's go to which Beatles song from the Sgt. Pepper album is about a street in Liverpool that Paul McCartney is recalling from his childhood? You got four already. Can you complete it?
This is going to make me nuts. I'm going to know this one.
Yeah, you are going to know this one.
Do you need a lifeline?
No, I'm good. I'll pass. I'm out.
All right, you got four.
Taint Street.
It's not. It's Penny Lane.
Penny Lane. Yeah.
Somebody in the chat said that was not on Sgt. Pepper's.
Was it not? Oh, well, that's that. So Russell got it, so I'm not going to feel too bad. And Woods won 4-2. So,
fair enough.
Did you get the category? Did you figure it out?
Something with change?
Yeah, keep the change.
Keep
very
the
good.
Change.
Nickelback, Penny Lane, Quarter Flash, Pennywise.
Penny Lane.
And No Quarter.
I love No Quarter. Oh, God.
Very good, Woods. All right, no qualifiers yet. Russell, thank you for playing.
And I love
we'll try someone else tomorrow.
Harden My Heart kicks.
Harden My
so
Heart
much.
Is good. Polly, can you call up? That was absolutely one of my.
It's so
favorites.
Good.
It is a good one. Kind of a one-hit wonder, but
darling,
very good.
Wildest trees.
So we got Don't Do This coming up next. And you don't know this, but Paulie and I were talking about a story that you are going to lose your mind.
You were in the restroom this morning at
really?
Like 5:40.
About, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Padres fans, brought this up, and I go, hang on.
I don't know that
that's
Padres,
a Don't Do This. Let's not even tell Woods.
Yeah, and I don't know that Padres fans are really aware of this yet,
It's
not good, people.
My stomach
it's
hurts.
Not good.
I can't wait.
I know, and it should. It really should. We'll get to that coming up next after traffic.
Oh, God, what a tease.
With Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, boy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com. Before we get to the one that you don't know about that I teased, start with just an absolute classic Don't Do This story. Jamarcus Russell, remember, former number one overall draft pick of the Oakland Raiders back in the day.
Yeah, we've talked to Amy Trask about that pick before.
Yeah, so started as a doo-doo this story. He was volunteering as an assistant coach at his alma mater, Williamson High School in Mobile, Alabama, giving back to the kids.
Home of the leprechaun.
That's right.
Yeah, the Crichton area.
Mobile, Alabama.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun.
But I guess he wasn't giving back so much as taking back. Now, Jamarcus, again, this sounds like a good thing, trying to raise some money for a new weight room, went to some local businesses using his, you know, his influence and name, saying, hey, we're trying to raise money, and a local business owner, Chris Knowles, wrote out a $74,000 check.
Good
like, let's
Lord.
Pay for a new weight room for the kids at Williamson High School. Unfortunately, the school says, we never got that check. Jamarcus just deposited it into his credit union account and then promptly withdrew $55,000 of it.
Ooh.
Jamarcus has been relieved, if you can be relieved, of your duties as a volunteer assistant coach, and he's now facing a lawsuit from the school and the donor. Over the missing $74,000 check.
Not the brightest of criminals.
No.
I would say. Did you really think, my man, you were going to get away with that? Maybe he thought,
someone
hey,
was going to notice that,
yeah.
where's my new weight room that I paid
well,
for?
Well, where's our weight room? Where's the thank you to the business for the $74,000 check? I mean, just a dumb move. All right, so what you've teased me long enough.
Yeah,
what's going
right.
on? What am I in the dark about?
Just hang on.
Maybe
take a deep breath.
Yeah.
You're not going to like this.
Maybe
story.
Some Padres fans are already aware of this. As we know, the broadcast of Major League Baseball games has become more diverse in recent years, with Padres were just on Apple TV. They've been on Fox, obviously Padres.tv. You've got streaming.
Last year, lots of Peacock.
Peacock. You got lots of different options. Yeah. Did you know that this Sunday you will not be able to watch the Padres on any of your normal outlets? They will be broadcast exclusively against the Arizona Diamondbacks on Roku this Sunday. The Roku game.
I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. That, in and of itself, is the first layer of the Don't Do This.
Which is, okay, now we got to find, if we have a Roku, we got to buy a Roku. It's free.
I think I can get the app.
You can figure it out, but it's something else you have to figure out. Which
if you have a Roku device, they have like the Roku channel.
I don't.
So I think you can just download the Roku channel.
I do have a Roku, so I'm not too worried about it, but I know that there will be fans who are concerned about this. But that's just the
tip of the iceberg.
So Roku is also in charge of naming the broadcasters for the game.
Mm-mm. You're going to lose your mind.
And they've gone with what I think is always the worst possible strategy and tried to combined broadcast team. So I got this email yesterday announcing that the broadcasters for Sunday's Padres Diamondbacks game
there's
on Roku.
There's one feed. There's not a home.
It's just
an
the
away
one
feed.
Game, the one feed. Play by play, Don Orsillo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And the analyst.
No. Butterteeth?
Bob Brindley.
Oh, Brindley.
Brindley
okay.
is going to be the analyst with Don Orsillo.
I'm actually relieved because I thought it was going to be Oral Hershiser, but Brindley's no better.
It's Padres Diamondbacks, so you'll have this mixed booth of Orsillo and Brindley for the entire game.
Butterteeth, Oral Hershiser.
Okay.
Yeah, brush your teeth, bro. Your name's Oral, by the way. Like, yeah. You think that is...
No, it's Brindley and Mike Pomeranz on the sideline. So we do outnumber them 2-1, but just either get a neutral team or just pick one or the other.
Yeah.
But to try to meld the two broadcasts,
it's a terrible
idea.
It
never works.
Now, Don is just the most consummate professional.
That worries me a little
bit.
Exactly
it
does.
Said,
yeah. Yes.
Brindley's going to be on his... You know, tirade about
Manchado, and
bike chains, whatever he's going to say.
Yeah.
And Don's just going to kind of roll with it because that's who Don is.
See, and now the thing is, I may not watch because I don't want to find myself getting upset at Don Orsillo for not defending our guys, you know.
It's putting Don in a really tough spot.
It really is, man. It really, really is putting him in a terrible, terrible spot. And, oh, my God.
Well, Brindley's known for his restraint.
Yeah. Brindley's known for his restraint. Known for his very, bro, the stuff he said about Tatis and those guys years ago, terrible.
Horrible.
Should have lost his job. The Manny Machado stuff was absurd.
When Manny dropped his bat.
Dropped his bat. Hit a foul ball or whatever, dropped his bat, and they're, oh, my
you
God.
Beat
Marcus
the
Stroman
yeah,
on the Mets.
Stroman, well, yeah,
that
was, dude.
That might have been worse.
That was terrible. He's terrible, man. He shouldn't have a job. Those guys should be put out to pasture, dude. So,
would you
yeah.
rather have, I think they're play-by-play, who's it, Steve Berthium?
Yeah, Berthium's
would you
not
rather
bad.
Have him do play-by-play with Mud?
Yes, yeah. All day long.
Over Don
all
with Brindley?
No offense to Don. We're saving Don from a tough situation.
I can't watch now, man. What time's the game?
It's a 1:10 normal time. It's just on Roku.
I'll be watching Bo play, actually. So maybe I'll just watch the game cast or something to save myself the... somebody's got to watch it, though. Somebody's got to take one for the team and let us know. Because you know Brindley's not going to be able to control himself at talking about Profar and how animated he is and you know, all the other little jabs that he likes to take. We all know where those things come from. So, oh, God, not like this idea. I do not... Like, I wouldn't want to hear Joe Davis and Mudd. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear that. Joe would put me to sleep. Mudd would keep me awake. It's like a broadcasting speedball.
Well, hey, Apple TV, like we saw last Friday, they give you the option to sync up the radio feeds. But even if they don't have that option, at least just bring in a completely neutral cast.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. All right, and a little bit better news.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
Talking about our San Diego Padres. I like the All-Star Futures game that they do every year. It's pretty cool. I know John Conniff. I mean, that's like your Super Bowl, man.
Oh,
bunch of prospects out there.
Just hugging. Just can't help myself.
Did want to give a shout-out to the two Padres that did make the National League roster. A catcher you may be familiar with. His name is Ethan Salas. And certainly picked on his ceiling and not his performance this year. But,
excellent.
Listen, I mean, that goes to show you what people actually think about him, what he's capable of. And then, of course, we got a starting pitcher in there as well, and that's Robbie Snelling. Ben, he's going to be making an appearance as well for the National League Futures.
I see James Wood is listed among the outfielders. I would think that if I'm Wood at this point, nah, I'm a big leaguer now.
Yeah, I'll
not,
pass.
Yeah,
I'll
not pass. A future anymore. I'm a present.
Owen Casey?
Cassie was a late
former Padre prospect.
Third or fourth round pick by the Padres. Never played a game. He was sent over in the Yu Darvish trade.
Yeah, so he's in there as well.
Maybe a lot of the guys, that kind of what we were saying early on, a lot of the guys who were bigger prospects in the Darvish trade never really panned out. So it's kind of like looking at the Musgrove trade.
He's still in here grinding.
I think he's in AAA this year. Yeah. He has some power. Canadian kid. Left big kid.
Nice. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's do this.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
So while we still have John Conniff in studio, when we come back, we're going to evaluate. Well, actually, Ken Rosenthal is going to evaluate the job A.J. Preller is doing as general manager this year. We got some audio for you. And then talk about what A.J. has left to work with before this trade deadline. We know the big names, but if you're trying not to trade Ethan Salas and Leo Dallas DeVries and Dylan Lesko and Robbie Snelling. What else is there that AJ could possibly use to acquire starting pitching or a bullpen arm here at the trade deadline?
And real quick, just because we were just talking about Sunday's broadcast, Johnny in the chat says, can we still listen to Jesse and Tony on 97.3 The Fan? Yes, that has no bearing on the radio broadcast. Those guys will still be there. You just won't catch it on whatever channel you've been watching Padres games.
Exactly.
Sunday.
This is TV viewing only. Radio remains consistent throughout the season. One of the great things about radio, 162. Get them all the way. All right, we'll come back, talk about AJ Preller. Trade deadline coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, baseball coverage coming up on the job AJ Preller is doing and why it may only be getting more challenging this month ahead of the trade deadline with still some needs on this roster and a lot of teams that are in competition for very few players that are available. Get to that right after a check here on 97.3 The Fan. So I think, we've said it and the rest of the baseball world is coming to the same realization that for all of AJ Preller's strengths, weaknesses, successes, and misses over the years, what he's done this year has been pretty impressive in terms of giving almost $100 million less in payroll. And to have a team that is actually outperforming last year's team based on creativity, success of some of the prospects, you know, picking up on the margins, guys like Donovan Solano, that he has done a really outstanding job in a vacuum in 2024 with the current San Diego Padres roster. And Ken Rosenthal is also noticing that, and Paulie's got some of the audio. This is we had foul territory earlier. This is Ken's podcast, which is fair territory. There's only so many baseball names out there. We're really running out of podcast names, which is unfortunate.
Welcome to Jones. Welcome to Triple Play with Ben and Woods and Paul. Here it is, the 6-4-3 podcast.
All right, it's time for the bullpen. This call to the bullpen. We are sponsored by.
So stupid.
We are running out here, but we do have some audio.
So this
from
is fair territory. This is fair territory. Okay. All right. Now I get it.
First question today comes from Tommy Wright, who asks, has any GM done a better job than AJ Preller? Forced to cut $80 million in payroll, he gave roles to Matt Waldron, Jerickson Profar, Jackson Merrill, Jeremiah Estrada, Rule 5 pick Stephen Kolick, and added Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez. Tommy, this is an excellent question, and you put it all together really well. AJ Preller, I know I've been hard on him in the past at times because I haven't liked the way he's constructed his rosters, but this is maybe his best performance. And all of those names you mentioned, it's really impressive. I'll go through them. Estrada, that reliever who had that great run earlier this season, he was a waiver claim from the Cubs. Kolek, you mentioned him, Rule 5 pick from the Mariners. Matt Waldron, and I didn't even realize this until I looked it up, he was the player to be named in the Mike Clevenger trade. If you remember that trade, the Padres got Clevenger and Greg Allen and a player to be named. Turned out to be Matt Waldron. They gave up a ton. It wasn't a great trade for them. Josh Naylor was one of six players that went back to Cleveland. Gabriel Arias is also in that group. Cal Quantrill. It was a trade in which they probably ultimately will come out on the negative side, but maybe Waldron evens it all out. I don't know. So all of that and Jackson Merrill, a draft pick that they've kept, 27th overall in 2021, a kid that was an infielder. They converted him to center field and has been brilliant, a leading candidate for NL Rookie of the Year. So yes, Preller, amazing job so far. And of course, he is not done yet. He is active right now, perhaps the most active GM in seeking help for his team, which currently holds the second wild card with a 2.5-game cushion over the Mets. So the Padres are in really good shape right now, even with all the problems that they've had, the injuries to Darvish and Musgrove and now Tatis. It's a really impressive showing by Preller and by his manager, Mike Schilt.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ken Rosenthal
said. Back in
my good
graces for a moment, Ken.
It's one thing for a Padres fan to say it. It's another for Ken, who had admittedly, you know, been critical of A.J. Preller at times, to go and admit that he's done a really nice job this year. Now, it would be weird, but not unheard of, for AJ Preller to lose his job following his best performance maybe of his decade-long tenure
right.
as general manager of the Padres and go, what do you mean? Did you just see what I just did this year? Well, it's not in a vacuum. There was a 10-year period leading up to that where the results didn't match the investment or what you were hoping to get. But this year, yeah, he's made a lot of really good moves.
Yeah, and I think, I don't want to take anything away from him at all, but I do feel like the shackles maybe allegedly that were put on him have helped him. I do. I feel like it's easier to spend when they say you have an open budget.
Well, it might be one other thing, too, is I think AJ this year is guy controlling all of baseball operations.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to deal with – and, I mean, I disagree with some of the things Peter Seiler may or may not have done.
Sure.
I loved Peter Seiler for what he was trying to do and bring a winner to San Diego, and that should always be the thing where you start with. But, you know, maybe some moves that Peter kind of overruled him. Like, I want to have Manny here, or I want to give this extension. And I think the Padres are kind of running now, and someone who loathes the Dodgers and all that, but they're kind of running more like, okay, when AJ makes a move, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the final word. But that's all speculation on my part.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I think there's probably some truth to that. But again, he has been very creative this year.
Especially with the Arias trade.
Oh, no doubt. But and he's moved, you know, he's moved a lot of pieces. They have spent a lot of capital to get those two guys. But so far, so good. I mean, like you said, second wild card, they're hanging on to it. They're hanging around.
But here's the problem. And we got John Connor from Matt Friars in studio, and he can kind of address this. Even with all the good moves that they've made. And the success that they've had and the fact they're in a playoff position at the moment. I don't know that any of us really think, though, that it's enough yet to win a championship. That this team, with its pitching staff, you know, issues, with its occasional bullpen issues, with its injuries, has enough to really be a title contender, which means, like most teams, they have to address at the trade deadline a couple of different holes. And the question is, what do they have left that they can use to address those holes, John? Because other than the top four prospects in the organization, we know who they are now. Ethan Salas, Leodalis DeVries, Dylan Lesko, Robbie Snelling. After that, there seems to be a bit of a gap in which they've already traded away a lot of the middle ground prospects. Who is there for the trading? Even if you're just trying to pick up a right-handed relief pitcher without a lot of control, who's of interest in the Padres organization that could be tradable at this point?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Yeah.
Ask an answer.
Ask me the same question.
Who's of interest in the Padres organization?
Everybody.
Everybody.
There's, you know, there obviously are some good players. I mean, I think in Fort Wayne, the guy saw Jagger Haynes, the nice left-hander who throws pretty well. Guys, Steve and I were just talking off the air about, you know, I think Edgar Rosario is a little bit blocked. He's put up some really good numbers. He put up some good numbers here. He profiles as an everyday second baseman. You could plug in right now. Brandon Valenzuela, switch hitting catcher, is doing well in San Antonio. But, you know, one thing, too, when you get to prospects, as much as I like to give Stephen Paul grief, because, you know, I'm here, why not, is that, you know, you got to remember, there's 26 spots on a major league team.
Right.
They have 165 guys we're talking about, the active players, 180 on the roster. Most of these guys are going to be dealt. And so you got to think about this. If you're one of the top 20 guys, have 180 people, that's incredibly impressive. But really, when we're looking at guys who can come up and help the team, and this is a broadcast or show that talks about the San Diego Padres, you got to look at the top 100 guys. And, you know, by the way, Ben framed that question, you're pretty much saying, okay, the top 100 guys, no, I'm not doing that. And that's kind of like what the Orioles are doing. The guys beneath, I think you can kind of maybe make some deals, but I mean...
But here's the problem, John, and I don't disagree with you. No. I'm okay with trading a lot of those guys, all of them that you just mentioned. I don't care. I want to see the winner at the major league level.
Hey, I've listened to your show. I know that.
Other teams, though, can offer more now than the Padres.
Definitely.
And have it hurt less because they have more of those, you know, higher level, even outside of the top 20, top 100 guys.
Yeah.
They've got 105 and 108 and 115. Where the Padres don't really have those guys anymore. They have the top 100 guys, the ones that are left, but they don't have that next, you know, group that I think other teams are going to be able to offer more compelling packages for Garrett Crochet or Yusei Kikuchi or whoever is being pursued here at the trade deadline.
Well, go back to a couple years ago when they had the big deadline deal for Max Scherzer and all that, and people pointed out, like, the Dodgers. They were all in. They were making the big move. They gave away their top prospect. The top prospect they gave away was the guy you talked about earlier in the show, Keibert Ruiz.
Yeah.
He was blocked by Will Smith.
Yep.
And that's the type of guy you trade, and that's who teams look at. Like, even then, the Orioles made the trade to get Burns. The guy that they traded, the big piece, was a guy who's their third baseman. He's doing really well.
Yep.
Joey Ortiz. There was no room for him in Baltimore. And if you're the White Sox, that's the type of guys that you're looking at. Who's a really good prospect where he has no spot on the major leagues? The problem with the top four Padres guys is you can see a place for them if they pan out coming up. And that's where it gets dangerous to trade someone. Like James Wood, we talked about that Soto trade, you know, a lot. You had to make that move, but you could see a spot for James Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where you kind of run into danger. And so, yeah, to get someone, it's going to be tough, not only because I don't know if you have the talent really to offer someone like that, and also you want to have someone pulling, and you got to look kind of going forward. Because, you know, I guess as Sergeant CBT, I didn't get an officer spot with Colonel Budget. But you have to look at where you have so many long-term contracts, you got to have some affordable guys like Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I couldn't agree more. And, if you're looking to add a back-of-the-rotation starter and you're looking to add a bullpen arm, I think we have the pieces to get it done. May not be.
But so do nine other teams that are also going for the same thing.
Well, again, I mean, if you're going for Crochet and you're going for Luis Robert, no, you're not. You don't have it. You don't have it. And that's fine. You got to move on to the next thing. I don't know that I'd want. Let's let someone else overpay, in my opinion, for those two guys, the oft-injured Luis Robert and the guy that's going to blow past his innings limit if he hasn't already. Let somebody else overpay. I know the Dodgers already put in an offer. It was denied. It was a low-ball offer. So I think someone's going to overpay for those guys. It's not going to be San Diego, in my opinion. I just don't think that you do it.
Well, one thing, too, to go to Ben's point is, you know, I don't know. The new system on the playoffs really is more of a crapshoot.
That's exactly right.
And the thing is, I don't know. Do I think Ben's right in that this is a championship team? They have all the pieces? No, they don't. I think Ben is right on that. Do I think they could catch a couple breaks? Yeah. Do I think I could see someone like a Michael King or Dylan Cease throwing 8 innings of one hit ball? Yeah.
100%.
Could I see them throwing 3 innings and giving him 7? Yeah, unfortunately, I can see that too.
But I can see Corbin Burns doing that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you just never know, man. Getting to the dance is obviously the most important thing. But I do, for once, feel like you can't mortgage your entire future on it. I love how this team is playing. I do. I think they're really, really the best example of a team that we've seen here in a long, long time. Team wise, chemistry wise, all of that. So you'd be doing them a disservice. But again, if you're AJ Preller, you're like, how many times can I add to this team at the deadline and you guys completely soil yourselves before I learn to not mortgage our future at the deadline? And I know they bought on the margins last year, but, you know, many times before that, they've made the splashy deal. Hasn't really worked out.
Another thing, too, and if I'm looking at it from like maybe a guy like Paul's perspective or your perspective, is that if you scout these guys really hard and you sit there and go, okay, right now I'm selling high on Snelling or Lesko or that, and those guys have a lot more information than I do, where you're getting daily reports, you're finding out. Like, look, a knock on Lesko might have been his fastball and changeup are really good. Kevin Charity and I both saw his breaking pitch in Lake Elsinore, his curveball, liked a lot. He hasn't been able to show it this year. So if you're selling, is he going to develop into a guy that's a reliever and just a fastball changeup guy? Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Can we all agree that the best possible additions the Padres can make in the second half of the season are 4 guys that it's probably completely out of their control? But if you could add a healthy Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, Xander Bogaerts, and Fernando Tatis Jr. to the team that as it's currently playing right now, no one could compete with that at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
The question is, I have no idea if any of those 4 guys are going to come back and perform in the second half of the season at levels that we've seen them perform in the past. But
God,
if they all did,
just like 2022, we were having that. Since we keep talking about that trade, When the Padres went out and got Juan Soto, we're like, and you're getting Fernando back in like 2 weeks. That's basically like acquiring another MVP candidate.
That
didn't work out.
That's definitely a narrative. It's a sports talk radio narrative, and we hammer it home. I'll admit it. And somebody said it on our show. Who do we have on yesterday? They said it as well.
Sammy
said the same thing. I mean, you're going to get so-and-so back, and that's like adding a piece, and just never feels... That's how it works. I always think about, they talked about it on the broadcast of CC Sabathia. Mm-hmm. Remember when he went from the Indians at the time to the Brewers,
right?
And was like, "Give me the ball. I'm pitching every 3 days, and we're going to make this run." We have not seen an impact player added to this team like that. I don't know that player exists anymore. I don't know that they're out there. I don't know that Garrett Crochet is it. I've watched him pitch this year. He looks fantastic. But he's going to blow past his number of innings, the most that he's ever thrown. So is that a guy I'm going to trade Ethan Salas for? I don't think so.
Yeah, it depends. You know, I mean, we got a lot of grief for putting Salas as our number two overall prospect. We put Merrill, and people were writing telling us we're wrong and how what Ethan does in the projection, he's going to be a better guy than Adley Rutschman. You know, maybe he might, but we just don't know.
Right.
And that's how you got to just better than calm
Hadley.
Down.
Better than Hadley would be something
John
else.
John Conniff, Matt Fryer, so good to have you in studio, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
We'll come back. We got 2 hours to go. Jesse Agler's going to be with us.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer Woods is going to make an appearance coming up here as well. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage of 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, baseball coverage coming up on the job A.J. Preller is doing and why it may only be getting more challenging this month ahead of the trade deadline with still some needs on this roster and a lot of teams that are in competition for very few players that are available. Get to that right after a check here on 97.3 The Fan. So I think, you know, we've said it and the rest of the baseball world is coming to the same realization that for all of A.J. Preller's strengths, weaknesses, successes, and misses over the years, what he's done this year has been pretty impressive in terms of giving almost $100 million less in payroll. And to have a team that is actually outperforming last year's team based on creativity, success of some of the prospects, you know, picking up on the margins, guys like Donovan Solano, that he has done a really outstanding job in a vacuum in 2024 with the current San Diego Padres roster. And Ken Rosenthal is also noticing that, and Paulie's got some of the audio. This is we had foul territory earlier. This is Ken's podcast, which is fair territory. There's only so many baseball names out there. We're really running out of podcast names, which is unfortunate.
Welcome to Triple Play with Ben and Woods and Paul. Here it is, the 6-4-3 podcast.
Right, it's time for the bullpen. This call to the bullpen. Sponsored by.
So stupid.
We are running out here, but we do have some audio.
So this is fair
territory.
This is fair territory. Okay. All right. Now I get it.
First question today comes from Tommy Wright, who asks, has any GM done a better job than A.J. Preller? Forced to cut $80 million in payroll, he gave roles to Matt Waldron, Jerkson Profar, Jackson Merrill, Jeremiah Estrada, Rule 5 pick Stephen Kolick, and added Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez. Tommy, this is an excellent question, and you put it all together really well. A.J. Preller, I know I've been hard on him in the past at times because I haven't liked the way he's constructed his rosters, but this is maybe his best performance. And all of those names you mentioned, it's really impressive. I'll go through them. Estrada, that reliever who had that great run earlier this season, he was a waiver claim from the Cubs. Kolek, you mentioned him, Rule 5 pick from the Mariners. Matt Waldron, and I didn't even realize this until I looked it up, he was the player to be named in the Mike Clevenger trade. If you remember that trade, the Padres got Clevenger and Greg Allen and a player to be named. Turned out to be Matt Waldron. They gave up a ton. It wasn't a great trade for them. Josh Naylor was one of six players that went back to Cleveland. Gabriel Arias is also in that group. Cal Quantrill. It was a trade in which they probably ultimately will come out on the negative side, but maybe Waldron evens it all out. I don't know. So all of that and Jackson Merrill, a draft pick that they've kept, 27th overall in 2021, a kid that was an infielder. They converted him to center field and has been brilliant a leading candidate for NL Rookie of the Year. So, yes, Preller, amazing job so far. And, of course, he is not done yet. He is active right now, perhaps the most active GM in seeking help for his team, which currently holds the second wild card with a 2.5-game cushion over the Mets. So the Padres are in really good shape right now, even with all the problems that they've had, the injuries to Darvish and Musgrove and now Tatis. It's a really impressive showing by Preller and by his manager, Mike Schilt.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ken
Rosenthal said. Back into my good graces for a moment, Ken.
It's one thing for a Padres fan to say it. It's another for Ken, who had admittedly, you know, been critical of A.J. Preller at times, to go and admit that he's done a really nice job this year. Now, it would be weird, but not unheard of, for A.J. Preller to lose his job following his best performance, maybe, of his decade-long tenure
right.
as general manager of the Padres and go, what do you mean? Did you just see what I just did this year? Well, it's not in a vacuum. There was a 10-year period leading up to that where the results didn't match the investment or what you were hoping to get. But this year, yeah, he's made a lot of really good moves.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't want to take anything away from him at all, but I do feel like the shackles, maybe allegedly, that were put on him have helped him. I do. I feel like it's easier to spend when they say you have an open budget.
Well, it might be one other thing too. Is I think AJ this year is guy controlling all of baseball operations.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to deal with. And I mean, I disagree with some of the things Peter Seiler may or may not have done.
Sure.
I loved Peter Seiler for what he was trying to do and bring a winner to San Diego, and that should always be the thing where you start with. But, you know, maybe some moves that Peter kind of overruled him. Like, I want to have Manny here, or I want to give this extension. And I think the Padres are kind of running now, and someone who loathes the Dodgers and all that, but they're kind of running more like, okay, when AJ makes a move, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the final word. But that's all speculation on my part.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I think there's probably some truth to that. But again, he has been very creative this year. And he had,
especially with the Arias trade.
Oh, no doubt. And he's moved, you know, he's moved a lot of pieces. They have spent a lot of capital to get those two guys. But so far, so good. I mean, like you said, second wild card, they're hanging on to it. They're hanging around.
But here's the problem. And we got John Connor from Matt Friars in studio, and he can kind of address this. Even with all the good moves that they've made, and the success that they've had, and the fact they're in a playoff position at the moment. I don't know that any of us really think, though, that it's enough yet to win a championship. That this team, with its pitching staff, you know, issues, with its occasional bullpen issues, with its injuries, has enough to really be a title contender, which means, like most teams, they have to address at the trade deadline a couple of different holes. And the question is, what do they have left that they can use to address those holes, John? Because other than the top four prospects in the organization, we know who they are now. Ethan Salas, Leodalis DeVries, Dylan Lesko, Robbie Snelling. After that, there seems to be a bit of a gap in which they've already traded away a lot of the middle ground prospects. Who is there for the trading? Even if you're just trying to pick up a right-handed relief pitcher without a lot of control, who's of interest in the Padres organization that could be tradable at this point?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Ask an answer.
Ask me the same question.
Who's of interest in the Padres organization?
Everybody. There obviously are some good players. I mean, I think in Fort Wayne, the guy saw Jagger Haynes, the nice left-hander who throws pretty well. Guy Steve and I were just talking off the air about, you know, I think Edgar Rosario is a little bit blocked. He's put up some really good numbers. He put up some good numbers here. He profiles as an everyday second baseman you could plug in right now. Brandon Valenzuela, a switch hitting catcher, is doing well. In San Antonio. But, you know, one thing too, when you get to prospects, as much as I like to give, Stephen Paul grief, cause, you know, I'm here and why not, is that, you know, you gotta remember there's 26 spots on a major league team.
Right.
They have 165 guys we're talking about, the active players, 180 on the roster. Most of these guys are going to be dealt. And so you had to think about this. If you're one of the top 20 guys, have 180 people, that's incredibly impressive. But really, when we're looking at guys who can come up and help the team, and this is a broadcast or show that talks about the San Diego Padres, you got to look at the top 100 guys. And, you know, by the way, Ben framed that question, you're pretty much saying, okay, the top 100 guys, no, I'm not doing that. And that's kind of like what the Orioles are doing. The guys beneath, I think you can kind of maybe make some deals, but I mean...
But here's the problem, John, and I don't disagree with you. No. I'm okay with trading a lot of those guys, all of them that you just mentioned. I don't care. I want to see the winner at the major league level.
Hey, I've listened to your show. I know that.
Other teams, though, can offer more now than the Padres.
Definitely.
And have it hurt less because they have more of those, you know, higher level, even outside of the top 20, top 100 guys.
Yeah.
They've got 105 and 108 and 115. Where the Padres don't really have those guys anymore. They have the top 100 guys, the ones that are left, but they don't have that next, you know, group that I think other teams are going to be able to offer more compelling packages for Garrett Crochet or Yusei Kikuchi or whoever is being pursued here at the trade deadline.
Well, go back to a couple years ago when they had the big deadline deal for Max Scherzer and all that, and people pointed out, like, the Dodgers. They were all in. They were making the big move. They gave away their top prospect. The top prospect they gave away was the guy you talked about earlier in the show, Keibert Ruiz.
Yeah.
He was blocked by Will Smith.
Yep.
And that's the type of guy you trade, and that's who teams look at. Like, even then, the Orioles made the trade to get Burns. The guy that they traded, the big piece, was a guy who's their third baseman. He's doing really well.
Yep.
Joey Ortiz. There was no room for him in Baltimore. And if you're the White Sox, that's the type of guys that you're looking at. Who's a really good prospect where he has no spot on the major leagues? The problem with the top four Padres guys is you can see a place for them if they pan out coming up. And that's where it gets dangerous to trade someone. Like James Wood, we talked about that Soto trade, you know, a lot. You had to make that move, but you could see a spot for James Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where you kind of run into danger. And so, yeah, to get someone, it's going to be tough, not only because I don't know if you have the talent really to offer someone like that, and also you want to have someone filling, and you got to look kind of going forward. Because, you know, I guess as Sergeant CBT, I didn't get an officer spot with a Colonel Budget. But you have to look at where you have so many long-term contracts, you got to have some affordable guys like Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I couldn't agree more. And, if you're looking to add a back-of-the-rotation starter and you're looking to add a bullpen arm, I think we have the pieces to get it done. May not be.
But so do nine other teams that are also going for the same thing.
Well, again, I mean, if you're going for Crochet and you're going for Luis Robert, no, you're not. You don't have it. You don't have it. And that's fine. You got to move on to the next thing. I don't know that I'd want – let's let someone else overpay, in my opinion, for those two guys, the oft-injured Luis Robert and the guy that's going to blow past his innings limit if he hasn't already. Let somebody else overpay. I know the Dodgers already put in an offer. It was denied. It was a low-ball offer. So I think someone's going to overpay for those guys. It's not going to be San Diego, in my opinion. I just don't think that you do it.
Well, one thing, too, to go to Ben's point is, I don't know. The new system on the playoffs really is more of a crapshoot.
That's exactly
right. And the thing is, I don't know. Do I think Ben's right in that this is a championship team? They have all the pieces? No, they don't. I think Ben is right on that. Do I think they could catch a couple breaks? Yeah. Do I think I could see someone like a Michael King or Dylan Cease throwing 8 innings of 1-hit ball? Yeah.
100%.
Could I see them throwing 3 innings and giving him 7? Yeah, unfortunately, I can see that too.
But I can see Corbin Burns doing that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you just never know, man. Getting to the dance is obviously the most important thing. But I do for once feel like you can't mortgage your entire future on it. I love how this team is playing. I do. I think they're really, really the best example of a team that we've seen here in a long, long time. Team wise, chemistry wise, all of that. So you'd be doing them a disservice. But again, if you're AJ Preller, you're like, how many times can I add to this team at the deadline and you guys completely soil yourselves before I learn to not mortgage our future at the deadline? And I know they bought on the margins last year, but, you know, many times before that, they've made the splashy deal. Hasn't really worked out.
Another thing, too, and if I'm looking at it from like maybe a guy like Paul's perspective or your perspective, is that if you scout these guys really hard and you sit there and go, okay, right now I'm selling high on Snelling or Lesko or that, and those guys have a lot more information than I do, where you're getting daily reports, you're finding out. Like, look, a knock on Lesko might have been his fastball and changeup are really good. Kevin Charity and I both saw his breaking pitch in Lake Elsinore, his curveball in Lake the Lot. He hasn't been able to show it this year. So if you're selling, is he going to develop into a guy that's a reliever and just a fastball changeup guy? Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Can we all agree that the best possible additions the Padres can make in the second half of the season are four guys that it's probably completely out of their control? But if you could add a healthy Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, Xander Bogaerts, and Fernando Tatis Jr. to the team that, as it's currently playing right now, no one could compete with that at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
The question is, I have no idea if any of those four guys are going to come back and perform in the second half of the season at levels that we've seen them perform in the past. But
God,
if they all did...
just like 2022. We were having that... Since we keep talking about that trade, when the Padres went out and got Juan Soto, we're like, and you're getting Fernando back in like 2 weeks. That's basically like acquiring another MVP candidate.
That
didn't work out.
That's definitely a narrative. It's a sports talk radio narrative, and we hammer it home. I'll admit it. And somebody said it on our show. Who did we have on yesterday? They said it as well.
Sammy.
Sammy said the same thing. I mean, you're going to get so-and-so back, and that's like adding a piece, and it just never feels... That's how it works. I always think about, they talked about it on the broadcast of CeCe Sabathia. Mm-hmm. Remember when he went from the Indians at the time to the Brewers?
Right.
And was like, give me the ball. I'm pitching every 3 days and we're going to make this run. We have not seen an impact player added to this team like that. I don't know that player exists anymore. I don't know that they're out there. I don't know that Garrett Crochet is it. I've watched him pitch this year. He looks fantastic. But he's going to blow past his number of innings, the most that he's ever thrown. So is that a guy I'm going to trade Ethan Salas for? I don't think so.
Yeah, it depends. You know, I mean, we got a lot of grief for putting Salas as our number two overall prospect. We put Merrill, and people were writing telling us we're wrong and how what Ethan does in the projection, he's going to be a better guy than Adley Rutschman. You know, maybe he might, but we just don't know.
Right.
And that's how you got to just better than
Hadley.
Calm down.
Better than Hadley would be something
John
else.
John Conniff, Matt Fryer, so good to have you in studio, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
We'll come back. We got 2 hours to go. Jesse Agler's going to be with us.
Oh, yeah.
Soccer Woods is going to make an appearance coming up here as well. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.